From Maine Public Radio and mainepublic.org, I'm Nora Flaherty with the news on this day in Maine, Friday, January 10th, 2020.
This Day in Maine is made possible by New England Rehabilitation Hospital of Portland, helping patients and their families after illness or injury. Learn more at nerhp.org. And by Douglas Ridge, a new eco-conservation subdivision in Brunswick, dedicated to nature-centric sustainable home design. More at douglasridge.com.
The state's first murder of 2020 was a domestic violence homicide. That's according to Maine State Police. They've charged Frederick Allen with murdering his wife, Anyelka Allen, at their home in Newport. He was scheduled to make his first court appearance today. Maine's homicide rate in 2018, the most recent year for which data were available, is among the lowest in the country, but of those, about half are the result of domestic violence. And Maine Senate President Troy Jackson today once again defended his decision to criticize the hiring practices of Bath Ironworks' parent company at a time when he had been hired to work with a machinist union that is affiliated with the shipyard. Steve Missler has more.
Speaking to reporters at the State House, Jackson, a Democrat, tried to emphasize that his four-month contract with the International Association of Machinists and Aerospace Workers was strictly related to his long-running efforts to negotiate on behalf of loggers. Jackson is fending off criticism from Senate Republican leaders that he had the appearance of a conflict of interest when he and House Speaker Sarah Gideon in December wrote to shipyard owner General Dynamics and suggested that the company was not fulfilling the obligations of a $45 million tax break the legislature approved 2 years ago.
I very much feel like this is a corporation that doesn't like being held accountable, that certainly put out some type of hit job on me.
The Bangor Daily News reports that the December letter was sent during a labor dispute between General Dynamics and the largest union, the International Association of Machinists and Aerospace Workers Local 6, an affiliate of the labor group Jackson worked for, and disclosed in financial reports last summer. In the letter, Gideon and Jackson said there's evidence that the company has not lived up to its end of the tax break deal, citing low wages and the hiring of contract workers. The shipyard union released a statement Thursday saying it was glad that legislative leaders were examining the shipyard's hiring of contract workers. Jackson said Friday that he supports the shipyard and has no plans to submit a bill to roll back the tax break, but added that he does want to make sure the company is keeping its promises to Maine taxpayers. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Steve Missler.
And looking at the weather tonight, overcast skies with temperatures steady in the 20s and 30s. Tomorrow, light rain turning to snow in the far north, otherwise overcast with a chance of light rain. Very warm with highs in the low 40s to the mid 50s. Climate-driven change in the Gulf of Maine is raising new threats that red tides will become more frequent and prolonged. But at the same time, powerful new data collection techniques and artificial intelligence are providing more precise ways to predict when and where toxic algae will bloom. And as Fred Bever reports, one of those new machine learning prediction models has been developed by a former intern at Bigelow Labs in East Booth Bay.
In a busy shed on a Portland wharf, workers for Bangs Island Mussels sort and clean shellfish hauled from Casco Bay that morning. Wholesaler George Parr has come to pay a visit.
So I wholesale to restaurants around town. Sometimes I ship, you know, like if there's a lot of mackerel or scallops, I'll ship into Massachusetts.
But business grinds to a halt, he says, when blooms of toxic algae suddenly emerge in the bay, causing the dreaded red tide. Toxins can build in filter feeders to levels that would cause paralytic shellfish poisoning in human consumers. State regulators shut down shellfish harvests long before danger grows acute, but when a red tide swept into Casco Bay last summer, Bangs Island's harvest was shut down for a full 11 weeks.
So when the restaurants can't get Bang Island, they're like, well, why can't we get Bangs Island? So it was really bad this summer. And nobody was happy.
As Parr notes, businesses of any kind hate unpredictability. And being able to forecast the onset or departure of a red tide has been a challenge, although that's changing with the help of a type of artificial intelligence called machine learning.
We're coming up with forecasts on a weekly basis for each site. And for me, that's really exciting. Like, that's what machine learning is bringing to the table.
Izzy Grasso is a recent Southern Maine Community College student who's now seeking a mathematics degree at Clarkson University in New York State. Last summer, she interned at the Bigelow Laboratory for Ocean Sciences in East Booth Bay. That's where she helped to lead a successful project to use cutting-edge neural network computer technology that's modeled on the human brain to better predict toxic algal blooms in the Gulf of Maine.
Really high accuracy, you know, right around 95% or higher, depending on the way that you split it up.
Here's how the project worked. The researchers accessed a massive amount of data on toxic algal blooms from the State Department of Marine Resources. The data sets detailed the emergence and retreat of varied toxins in shellfish samples from up and down the coast over a 3-year period. The researchers trained the neural network to learn from those thousands of data points. Then it created its own algorithms to describe the complex phenomena that can lead up to a red tide.
And then we tested how it would actually predict on unknown data.
Grasso says they fed in data from early 2017, which the network had never seen, and asked it to forecast when and where the toxins would emerge.
I wasn't surprised that it worked, but I was surprised at how well it worked. The level of accuracy and the resolution on specific sites and specific weeks.
Nick Record is Bigelow's big data specialist. He says the network's accuracy, particularly in the week before a bloom emerges, could be a game changer for the shellfish industry and its regulators, once it's ready, that is.
Basically, it works so well that I need to break it as many ways as I can before I can really trust it.
Still, the work's already been published in a peer-reviewed journal, and it's getting attention from the scientific community. Don Anderson is a senior scientist at the Woods Hole Oceanographic Institution, and he's working to expand the scope of data-gathering efforts in the Gulf.
The world is changing with respect to the threat from the algal blooms in the Gulf of Maine.
Anderson says that novel modeling techniques such as Bigelow's, coupled with expanded in-the-water monitoring stations, such as Woods Hole is trying to create, could make forecasting toxic blooms as simple as checking the daily weather report.
That situational awareness is what everyone's striving to produce in the field of monitoring and management of these toxic algal blooms. And it's going to take a variety of tools in this type of.
And that's today's Maine News. For more stories, visit MainePublic.org. And join us tomorrow on Maine Calling at 1 o'clock for a conversation about the U.S.,
Back
Iran,
at the Portland
and
Wharf,
what's at
shellfish
state.
Dealer George Parr afraid. Says the research sounds pretty promising.
Forewarned is forearmed. If they figure out how to neutralize the red tide, that'd be even better.
Bigelow scientists and former intern Izzy Grasso are working now to look under the hood of the neural network. They want to figure out how exactly it arrives at its conclusions. They say that could provide clues not only about how to predict toxic algal blooms, but even how to prevent them. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Fred Bever.
And you can find the Bigelow research paper on our website, mainepublic.org. And that's today's Maine News. For more stories, visit mainepublic.org. Have a great weekend. I'm Nora Flaherty.